Each of you is present tonight. We're going to be looking at a few verses together this evening from the book of Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 3. And in this section of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, he brings forth the idea of how important it is as servants of God to have the disposition, the quality of heart that enables us to, toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, have a spirit that will enable there to be unity and harmony so that there will be that goodwill that can result in growth and development of the body of Christ as a whole. So beginning in verse 12, Colossians 3 verse 12, he says, "Therefore, as the elect of God," so he's speaking to those who are the chosen ones of God. And being chosen of God means that you are special in that you have been taken from the world and its ways, and you've been made a holy person to be like unto God. So you have the nature of God. You're supposed to be displaying yourself because you are elect of God. You've been chosen by God for that purpose. And then he says, "Holy and beloved," he says, "put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." So here we see some things that are brought forth by the Apostle Paul that relate to what we are as people and how we deal with others. And if we go in terms of our conduct and act just like the world acts, these things are going to be missing, because we often see in the conduct and in the behavior of people in the world, maybe we work with them each day, but we see the opposite of these very things oftentimes. But God has made us a very different sort of people. And so we are to have this tender mercy that he describes. Put on tender mercies. So when it comes to sometimes being wronged in life, and we are going to be wronged many times in life, the attitude that we're to have is not immediate vengeance and they are just going to get it back just like they gave it to me, but rather have a merciful disposition to where we are not just ready to pounce, but rather we are ready to pardon, we're ready to forgive, we're ready to have this disposition that is merciful toward people who do not treat us the way they should, and for no apparent reason. Sometimes you can be just hated, you can be treated wrongly when you've done nothing whatsoever. But we're to have this attitude of tender mercies. He puts the word next as kindness. And we understand what that is, a disposition that enables us to show a spirit of goodwill toward the people around us. You know what it means to be kind to one of your friends at school. You know what it means to be kind to a brother or sister. To be kind is to show the quality of Christ as he, when he came into this world and when he dealt with people, even people who hated him and despised him, and yet because of kindness toward them, he sought their best interest. He gave them what was needed, and he did not withhold even his own life because of that nature that was within him. He speaks of humility and meekness. Humility, meekness, the idea of gentleness, go hand in hand together. One who is humble can acknowledge that they have done wrong. They will not lift themselves up above others and have a spirit of arrogance, but instead they will lower themselves, and with meekness or gentleness, they will deal with people. So a spirit of lowering oneself, and the way that you deal with other people is in a very gentle fashion. And keep in mind, in the context here, he's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ within the family having this spirit toward one another. When conflict arises within the body of Christ, here is a quick solution if we have the attitudes that we're told in the Scriptures to have toward one another. Long-suffering is also important, because oftentimes weaknesses have a tendency to come back in a repeated fashion. Someone might, with their own weakness and struggles, do something against us, And it may just not happen one time, it may happen repeatedly. Therefore, the need for long suffering, as we see God demonstrating over and over again with the weakness of the children of Israel on a regular basis throughout their history, when they would fail to comply with His will, heed the warnings of His prophets. None of it seemed to do any good, and yet God waited before judgment and punishment came. So He was very long-suffering with His people. He describes this attitude in verse 13 and puts it in plain language that you bear with one another. So people even within the body of Christ, He's showing, because He's talking Christians between Christians. You bear with one another. Even though we're members of Christ's kingdom, even though we have been washed free and clear of all sins, we are still works in progress. We still have weakness. We still struggle at times. And there will be times when we in our weaknesses sin against one another even. So He says, you bear with one another. You bear with one another. Sometimes even when we know better and our desire is not to harm or hurt a fellow Christian, we might do that anyway. We grieve over it, we're sorry for it, we want to turn from it, and that's why there's the need to bear with one another. Don't just write somebody off, but He says, be patient and forgive one another. And then He points out the need to follow in the footsteps of Christ. Because if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Of course, implied here is the idea of repentance. Because what Jesus, the way Jesus forgave is the way He expressed, like in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. People who perish are not people who found forgiveness, but people who find forgiveness are people who repent, who will not perish. And so we understand that repentance is necessary. The reformation, the turning from sin is necessary. And when that takes place, and we see that, and there's that beseeching that often takes place in the seeking of forgiveness, we cannot, how dare we ever think about withholding forgiveness. We must be willing to forgive because we have been forgiven. And when we just remind ourselves how much we have been forgiven and how much we still need forgiveness, we cannot withhold that which brothers and sisters seek and that which we ought to give. Forgive one another, He says, within the body of Christ. But above all these things, He says, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love, as we know, takes care of and sums up all of our Christian responsibilities and duties. If we love God, if we love our fellow man, then we will respect the will of God and follow His commands, all of them. When we have love for our neighbor, we will do nothing that is harmful to them, Romans chapter 13. We will instead seek the good of those who are all about us. And seeking their good and loving them is what enables us to have this forgiving spirit that He speaks about here, and having the disposition of mind as just described in verse 12. And so, let the peace of God, verse 15, rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So, when you have the spirit of forgiveness, when you have the love like God has for us, then and only then can you have what He mentions here in verse 15, the peace of God. The peace of God, which He says is to rule in our hearts. Paul elsewhere explained that we need to have that peaceful disposition toward all, to strive to be at peace with all as much as lies within us, to never seek to have the spirit of retaliation against others, but rather give it to God, who says, vengeance is mine. He will take care of all wrongs that people don't repent of, that they don't want to make right. If they want to persist in a hostile attitude towards you, you've done everything you can to be peaceful. You put it in the hands of God, but you let peace always dwell within your hearts. You don't have a spirit of ill will toward anyone, of grudges that are just being held onto toward anyone, but you have a spirit within you that desires to be at peace with all, a desire to forgive, a desire to make everything right, as he describes here. And in fact, he says, this is what, as children of God, we've been called to do. We've been brought together in one body for peace, not for strife, not for dissension, but for peace and for thankfulness. Thankfulness to God, who has made all of these things possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. Tonight you may not be a child of God. Perhaps this very moment where you sit and you reflect, you realize you've not done the things that have to be done in order to be washed free and clear of all your past sins. You know and probably have heard, even if you're not a member of the body of Christ, that a person has to have faith in Jesus to be saved. And that's true, and that's something that Jesus himself taught. But he taught much more, as we recently studied on Sunday, that Christ also taught the essentiality of turning away from past deeds of wickedness, that we have to repent. We cannot continue in evil and sin. That we have to be willing to confess our faith in Jesus Christ. That we must be baptized so that our sins can be washed away. He taught those things. And his followers taught those things. And people who heard those things obeyed those things. And when people obeyed the simple steps that God has given, God added them to the church, and they were part of the saved body. The body that we read about in the New Testament. The church that Christ established. And that's a decision you can make tonight. If you're a child of God, though, already and living according to his will, but you're struggling with life, we can offer prayer for you if you need your brothers and sisters in Christ to lean on, to encourage you. Maybe you've fallen into sin and you've transgressed God's law and you know that there are things in your life that you need help with. Or maybe it's been a public sin of some sort and you desire to make that right in a fashion that lets the church know that you've taken care of it, that you've done the will of God in regard to returning to him. These are needs that God alerts us to through his word. The invitation we always extend is that Christ extends to you. So he's calling you to come back to him or to come to him and have your sins washed away. And if you need to respond to his call, we encourage you to do that at this time as we stand and sing.